Praise God. With a big voice like mine, you can't tell whether it's on or not. It always sounds like it's on to me. Hallelujah. Come from a family of 9 children, you had to speak loud to get mama's attention. Praise God. But how many know that we don't have to speak loud for the Lord to hear us? Amen. He's always there. He's always close. You know, couple weeks ago, I spoke to you about being Christ-sized, being enlarged in God's eyes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Last week, I talked to you about the giver of good things. Good things. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we find that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And the gift we were talking about last week is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Luke 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? We talked about you and I are the receivers, are the recipients, that God doesn't want to hold good things back from you and I. And today, I want to start on that James chapter 1. I'm going to begin to read in verse 17 about that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein and being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Today I want to focus your attention on verse number 21 for this morning's message. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or superabundance of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The title of this morning's message is Put in Position. Put in Position. We're going to talk to you today about putting off, putting on, putting in, and putting up. To put off, to put on, to put in, and to put up. Amen? You have your word with me today. Let's all lift the word together and make a declaration in the house. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. So today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to your servant, for I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. May you be glorified in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it here to do. So, Father, I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would speak through this vessel. May the words that go forth come from you and not from me, and will they accomplish what you sent them to do. We know that you have a plan today, and your plan is for good. So, Lord, I thank you for the plans that you have for everyone that's gathered in this room. And we never cease to give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I gotta let something go a minute, then I'll be ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I was looking at put off, there's a question that comes to my heart. You know, God will never do anything in our hearts and lives unless we want Him to. Want Him to. In other words, we seem to go through the same things over and over and over because we keep doing the same thing. We make choices and decisions, and then we don't understand. And then it becomes God's fault, you know. And so I think it's one of the things we need to start doing as children of God is if we really want the Lord to change our lives, He will change your life. But there's got to be a want to. There's got to be a want to. And if you read all the way through the history of God's word, God never made anybody do anything. He gave them opportunity. There was an opportunity that was given here. When we talk about going through the same stuff over and over, there was an opportunity that said, hey, you can step out of it. You can use this season to spring forward, or you can stay where you're at. God will still love you where you're at. But you'll have more freedom if you spring forward. Amen. You know, sometimes when this old man keeps coming back, the same old man time and time and time again, we see there's something that's got to change. And he says that we need to not look into the perfect law of liberty. And no, in other words, when we look in the mirror, we got to see a change, a transformation that's taking place in our lives. So that calls for you and I to put off something. Amen. I don't know about you. Before I put something on, I got to put something off. And before I can put on the new man, I have to put off something. And the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, He says, but now ye also put off all these. Anger. Wrath. That's acting out your anger. The Lord was saying something to me this week. What you put in is going to come out. Let me say something to you. No condemnation on anybody. Just listen to what the Spirit of God says. He says there's avenues that we invite all of this anger into our hearts and lives. We get on these games and we play these games that are nothing but violence. They're nothing but violent games. And we're in that violent game and we come out and that violent game gets inside of you and I. What we put in comes out. And you say, well, it's harmless. I'm just playing the game. No, there's images and things that are coming into your mind. Remember that your mind is the battlefield. The mind is where the battlefield, that where the adversary rules and tries to rule your life. So what you put in there, if you're putting in violence and anger and those things, that's what's going to come out. And you'll see that's the way you're going to react. You'll react in that way. He says, but now put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We don't talk the way we used to talk anymore. Dirty jokes aren't funny anymore. I'm not laughing at them anymore. I'm not that man anymore. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lie not one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man in his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, I'm a new creation. Old things are gone. I'm going to be someone new. That means I got to change the way I think. I got to change the way I speak. I got to change the way I walk. I got to change the way I talk. I got to change some things in my life. I got to allow God to transform and change my life because he has so many greater plans in our hearts and lives. Amen. And the adversary is, man, he is so subtle, man. You know, so many times I see the adversary coming in. I see things that are taking place, and I see how the adversary is using it to divide and to destroy and to steal what God is doing. You know, in other words, we've got to be determined. Amen? It's going to take some determination on our part. And let me say something to you. We are going to go through some warfare. You're going to go through some darkness. You're going to go through some spiritual wickedness, okay? We live in a world that's full of wickedness, and we've got to expect to go through some wickedness, but we're not alone. God's called us to a body to be there beside one another, to help one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to lift up one another. Amen? Praise God. You know, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22, he says, therefore ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, my way of thinking's got to change. The way that I look at things has got to change. I become an element of what I surround myself with. I'm going to surround myself with things of God. I'm going to surround myself with things that are good, that are pure, that are holy. I'm going to seek those things because God has a great plan in our hearts and lives. And let me say something to you. The adversary wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your relationship. He wants just to totally destroy you. He wants to separate you to get you off the alone so he can beat up on you. So in other words, what he'll do is he'll have you start looking at everything. And all of a sudden, you'll start judging everything. And you'll start ridiculing things. And you'll see, well, that isn't for me. And all of a sudden, you find yourself back out in that same place again. He doesn't have any new tricks. Amen. As Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so is Satan. He was evil in the beginning. He's evil now, and he'll be evil at the end. Amen. But God has a greater plan in your life. You know, I was reading the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. You should get that chapter in your heart. It's all the patriarchs of faith. It starts even at Adam, that Adam was favored with God. And then it talks about Enoch that walked with God and he was not. Then it went to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then it went to Moses. It went to Rahab. And he showed you all these patriarchs of faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it's a continuation of Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 1, he says this. He says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The witnesses? Abraham, Enoch, Adam, Abraham, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, David, Samson. There's a cloud of witnesses. Amen. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do have so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, this is a hard, enduring race. And let me tell you something. If you're running a long race, you want to carry as little weight as you can. Because the weight will drag you down. And so many times, we're still carrying the old stuff, and we're trying to run this race like this. See, we haven't put off that old man. That weight that's on us is still holding you and I down. And God wants to take that weight and he wants to lift it up off of your shoulder and off of your back. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. So when we're, what he's saying to you and I, hey, there's some things that we need to put off. Every day there's something else we can put off. Hello? Amen. So none of us ever have arrived. And before you can really get the real word inside of you, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or superabundance of naughtiness and receive with meekness. In other words, there's something I have to put on. I got to put on humility. I got to put on humility to be able to receive the word when it's spoken. I've got to have that submissive spirit in order for me to grow. I think it's kind of interesting. I go visit the jail every Thursday. I've been doing it for about 7 or 8 years. And I minister to a lot of people that have been incarcerated. And I found that something that happens all the time, just about with each one I've talked to. They know more than their attorneys. They know more than their attorneys. It's amazing, but they have more knowledge than their attorneys. I'm going to fire my attorney because he don't know what he's doing. But they know what they're doing. Come on now. In other words, you and I have to have a submissive and humble spirit to be able to grow and be the man and woman that God wants us to be. You know, God wants you and I to clothe ourselves with humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, the Word of God says, likewise, ye younger, hello, all you young people in the room, submit yourselves unto the elder. I lost my hair and my hair turned gray through trials of life. The Lord was saying something to me. Listen to me. In ministry, you may have a position of leadership. And the elders come under submission to you in that leadership role. But as leaders, you must be submissive to elders. In other words, they have wisdom. They have experience. They've been through some things that you haven't been through. Sometimes they'll spare you some of the storms of life if we would just but listen. And so he says, likewise, ye younger, submit unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, if I cannot have a humble and meek and modest spirit, I'll never receive the word. Jesus came in the form of a servant to show you and I humility. To show you and I submission. Everything he did, he said, I submit to my Father. He never usurped his authority over his Father. He stayed in submission. So it's important for you and I, as we're putting off the old man and the old ways, that we put on humility. We put on a submissive spirit. You know, just as I, and the Word of God, I study in the Word of God, there's men that I submit to and that are mentors to me that know more than I do. Amen? So I come under submission to them. And that key about submitting to one another is so valuable, amen, for you and I as Christians, as children of God, to be humble. And in our humility, if we want to reach our family and our loved ones with the love of God, we've got to do it with a humble spirit. Because if we don't have a humble spirit, they're going to reject what you have to say. That's why the Word of God says in 2 Timothy, Paul was writing to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, he says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that impose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Amen? In other words, even as we're sharing the gospel and we're sharing the love of God, we need to be clothed with humility. We need to be clothed with meekness. We got to recognize that when I see someone that says, "Whoa, if it weren't for God's grace, there goes I." Hello? You see somebody and they're and caught up in darkness and caught up in things of the world, and you come down with a condemning look, looking down your nose, and you ought to say, "If it wasn't for God's grace, I could be in that same seat today." And none of us have been through what they have been through in their life. You don't know what they might be going through. I had an opportunity this week to minister to a politician. I shared on Thursday, and it's a politician in town. I'm not going to go talk about that, but they were going through some things. And their church, they were going through some things. And the Lord gave me a word for them. And the word was, "You don't know what that man's going through. You don't have any idea. And you have to understand, maybe if you were in his shoes for one day, you would see things in a different way." Amen? You know, this man's wife is dying with cancer. And he's reacting a little different than he did before. And I don't know what it'd be like if my wife was facing and dying with cancer. I don't know how I would react. I can't even tell you how I would react because I don't know. And sometimes you don't know what people may be going through. They may be going through things that you don't even understand and you can't see. So you got to see like God sees. By God's grace, there goes I. In other words, I'm going to reach them with humility and grace and mercy. I'm going to love them right where they're at, and I'm going to pray that they don't stay there. Amen. So many times. And in this situation, what was taking place is everybody was dividing. Everybody was scattering. Well, what does the enemy want to do? He wants to divide and scatter. Amen. So if we see if that's what the adversary's plan is, we as a church ought to know better than that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. No matter what happened, God is still in control. And my word says that they must answer to him. Amen. So the word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's talk about marriage here for a little bit. All the women say amen. All the men say amen. The word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, or outward wearing of gold, or to put in apparel," because those things don't mean nothing to God. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price." Humility. You know, the Bible says, and when Paul started teaching Ephesians 5, he said, "Submitting to one another in the fear of God." So we're to submit to one another. We're talking about putting on humility and being covering ourselves and clothing ourselves with humility. And I ain't going to leave the guys out. Verse number 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered." In other words, the Bible says, don't dishonor your wife and then come and ask me for something. He says, the way you treat your wife is the way you treat me. Amen? So we have a responsibility as men. We're to honor our wives. We're to respect our wives that God has given to them to us as a gift of God. And we recognize that marriage is work. Hello? It's work. Amen? A good marriage takes you get what you get out, what you put in. If you're not putting in anything in your relationship, you're probably not going to get much out. But whatever you sow, you reap. You sow to your husband, you'll reap from your husband. You sow to your wife, you'll reap from your wife. Amen? Amen? Amen. And it's time for you to, you know, as men, we ought to be complimenting our wives. Tell them how beautiful they are. Because guess what? In God's eyes, they're the only women that's for us. Amen? Amen. There's a lot of pretty girls in this world, but there's only one beautiful woman that's my wife. Amen? Amen. And she's a jewel. She's a treasure from heaven. Amen? You know, I'm a black, I count, the, I, you know, I thank God for my wife. Amen? So when you get up in the morning, guys, start giving God thanks for your wife. Amen? And as you're giving God thanks for your wife, all of a sudden she'll come down and say, honey, can I get you something? Amen? Amen? Let me tell you something. A house divided can't stand. It begins in the home. And again, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The devil is subtle. He'll come in little by little by little by little. All of a sudden, I'm going to speak this because the Lord's laid on my heart. All of a sudden, you'll be all worn out and you'll be tired. And then all of a sudden, man, there's this little girl that comes up and starts talking to you when your defenses are down. Come on. We got to protect ourselves. Amen? Amen? The devil wants you to be tired. You know what I did last night? I went to bed at 9 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock. I didn't miss a beat. Well, you say, 9 o'clock's too early to go to bed. No, it was 10 o'clock. Time was changing. You know? Time was changing. So I just went to bed an hour early. Still got my whole night's sleep. Hell yeah. Woke up excited, full of energy. Amen. Ready to come in here and share the love of God, that God loves you. And what God is saying to us today, hey, church, he's saying this. You cannot put on, you need to put off the old man. To leave him behind, we're going to put it off. In other words, I'm going to forsake, I'm going to turn. But then I got to put on humility. And let me tell you something. When I was in the world, I didn't have no humility at all. Hello? I didn't have no humility at all. I didn't submit to nothing. I didn't submit to any authority. I hated police. I hated judges. I hated anybody that represented good. I was a rebellious person. I did not have a submissive heart. But Christ came in. When Christ came in my life, I'm becoming the image of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was clothed with humility. Amen. And he was submissive. In other words, I got to change the way that I used to act in the world. Now I've got to change my whole way of living. I don't see things the way I used to see them. You know, I'm seeing things in a different light because of humility. Because of humility. Pride's an ugly monster. Pride's an ugly monster. So now, man, I see things different, man. I have a great respect for the police department and their jobs and their work. I'm not saying that every policeman is good, but their office is. I have respect for the courts. You know, I learned to have respect for attorneys because they know more about the law than I do. Amen. I just use that. Now just go on. Hallelujah. Then he says we need to put in. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted word. The word of God. The word of God is implanted. When we sow it into our hearts and lives, it becomes implanted in our hearts and lives. And if we do not have a humble spirit, we will not receive the word. Jesus said in John 15, you know what this is? Basic instructions before leaving earth, right? All right? You say, well, Pastor, you seem to talk about that a lot. Yeah, but evidently we haven't got it, have we? Because if we got it, we wouldn't be doing the same thing over and over again, would we? Jesus said in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. So in other words, what I'm putting in, I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to put on humility, and I'm going to put in the engrafted word, the implanted word of God. And I talked about marriage a few moments ago. Paul said in Ephesians 5:26, he does a parallel with marriage in the church. So this covers everyone, whether you're married or not. Amen? So he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Amen? In other words, when I'm implanting the word of God inside my life, now all of the word has effect. I have learned something in ministering to people. I could have all these illustrations and I could have all these things, but it's the power of God's word that changes lives. It's the power of the word of God. Amen? It's the power of the word. Amen? And we use the illustrations, but we need to have the word. They work hand in hand to accomplish what God sent his word to do. God is looking for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And then I can put up, just like my wife puts up. She puts up with me. What I'm talking about put up is I can endure. I can finish. So many people get wearied and quit. But the word of God says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, the word of God says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth the end shall be saved. That's putting up. That's putting up. That's hanging in there. That's not growing weary and well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. That's finishing the course. That's crossing the line. That's being like Paul that said that I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Not only for me, but for all those that love his appearing. Amen. So what God is saying to you and I is if we put off the old man and we put on humility and we put in his word, we'll be able to put up with the trials and tribulations of this life. We'll be able to endure them. You know, we'll be able to stand on Romans chapter 10 that says, and verse 9 that said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have what we confess. Amen. So what the Lord is saying to you and I simply today is, hey, we need to, if we want to put off the old man and his old ways, we need to put on something. We need to put on some humility. We need to put in something. We need to put in the Word of God. Then we'll be able to put up with all the trials and all the tests of life that we'll go through. You know, the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simply, what is God saying to you and I today? Let every man be swift to hear. Are you listening to what the Spirit of God is saying today? Let him that have an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. Be slow to speak. Bite your tongue. You can't take back the words. You can't take them back. Be slow to wrath. Be slow to act out anger. In other words, if we want to put off the old man, and we're going to put on this meek and humble spirit, we'll be able to put in God's word. Then we'll be able to put up with everything that the adversary sends our way. See, that's how we're strengthened. See, what happens is there's a defense mechanism that comes up because of our old nature. It's an old defense mechanism to say, well, you can't tell me nothing. God loves you. God has a plan in your life. He's called you with a heavenly calling. He's anointed you as men and women of God. He has purpose and he has plans in your life. And they're for good. Because God is good. God is good. God is good. We serve a good God. Amen. We serve a good God that's able to do for us exceeding abundantly above what we ever expected or even asked for, or even thought. I love that scripture that says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to you and I through his Spirit. The Spirit searches the deep things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. In other words, I believe what the Spirit of God is saying is, if we put these things to practice in our hearts and lives, the Word will have an effect not only on us, but on everyone that we come in contact with. Bow your heads and let us pray.